Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We're ready.
Brandon
to go.
Marshall here reporting live.
Do it. Yeah, it's Kristen's PFT. Unbuttoned. No, it's Kristen. It's my podcast. It's Kristen's Unbuttoned.
No, this is PFT. This is NBC night. What is it? The nighttime
football? Nightly news?
Nightly.
Or are you on Football Night in America?
Football Night in America with right. Chris Sims.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, homies? What up, mofos? Ahmed and I are on vacation as I talk right now. I'm actually in the Caribbean enjoying a little time off. Little sand, ocean, sun, having some fun. But I don't want to leave you guys hanging, all right? We got lots of great interviews in the bag. And during Super Bowl week, Mike Florio and I were on Radio Row. We had some great big-name, big-time legend players come through, coaches, some of my ex-teammates. So throughout this week, we're going to post some of these interviews for all of you to enjoy. We're going to have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday edition. On today's episode, you're going to hear me and my former teammate, Brandon Marshall, talk about our days with the Broncos and some of the pressure players face before they get big contracts. He's got great perspective on that. We're going to go Michael Parsons. Yeah, the two most hated guys in Philadelphia. We had some great conversations, mainly his dislike of why MVP voters don't ever take into account the defensive players. I think it's a great point by him. We got Christian McCaffrey on why Shanahan's a genius. Sean Payton will join the set and talk about how he's going to fix Russell Wilson. So, again, hang with us here. It is a week off. It's been a long season, but hopefully you can enjoy some of these interviews and some of these great personalities we talk to that are associated with the NFL. So here you go with my brother from another, my main mofo, Brandon Marshall. Hope you enjoy. That's right. We're here.
What is this one?
This is Chris. This is my podcast. We're going Chris Sims Unbuttoned. This is where if you want to.
Yes, I know. I know.
If
I know.
You know, you've been listening? Yes, you listen a little? Yeah. Yeah, all right, good.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy. I am crazy. But no, seriously, this is Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and this is one of my favorite people in all the world. We are at the Super Bowl. It's Thursday. Brandon Marshall. Not only like, not that we're like, text all the time, people, but right. I always consider you one of my best friends.
Yes, right. I mean, it's not even that. I feel like you're a brother. So when you're best friends, you talk all the time. But a brother, like, look, man, you got a family. I got a family. You're working.
Right.
I'm working.
Right.
When we catch up, we catch up, and we pick up where we left off. So definitely a brother for me because, like, at my – you know, lowest moment or toughest moment, I would say you were there every single day when we were playing for the Denver Broncos. So that was – we need to talk about Josh McDaniels. How you feel? Because that's why it was a low moment for me.
Well, it was tough.
But you're a Josh McDaniels guy, though.
Well, I am.
Yeah, you are.
But I understand, like, some of the things that, you know, went wrong there. Mm-hmm. I don't think some of the things – I guess where I think some of the things that went wrong there, I wouldn't put them all on Josh McDaniels.
Right, right.
I think there were some other things going on behind the scenes mm-hmm. that made life hard on Josh with your relationship. That's all I would say,
okay.
Right?
But, oh, so you know something I don't know. Well, tell me because I don't know.
Well, I think the team was going broke,
right?
Ooh. I mean, you remember that year? They were giving out sweets. I had my family in a Thanksgiving suite. I didn't have that kind of money.
Wow.
But they couldn't sell the suites in the football team.
Right.
So I think that's where some of the disconnect with the whole your contract and stuff, all that kind of went down.
So you're saying Josh McDaniels wanted to pay me, but the team couldn't afford to pay me.
I think there was a bunch of that going on there. Right. I think he was promised he was going to be allowed to spend a certain amount of money, too, on free agency and stuff like that. And then they looked at the checkbook and they go, no, you can't do that.
Wow.
Right?
If that's the case, then I need to – well, I don't need to apologize to Josh.
I know.
I've been crushing
him critical.
Over the last six, 7 months because there's some other things that I still think are valid. But I didn't like how he handled my contract situation.
Right.
But again, if that was the case, then I can understand why he had to approach it
that way.
Because you can't give the player all the business.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's a tough spot to be in as a head coach.
It is. I think some of these coaches got to bite the bullet more than we think sometimes with stuff like that. Because the owner kind of like, they do it, but they're not going to sell out the owner and be like, hey, the owner told me I can't.
Wow.
Right? So they take it.
That's brutal.
It's the dirty part of the business.
Right.
I know. But you got paid. And
a year later,
I know, and it was risky.
Yeah,
you know, I always tell everybody the story about you in the Eagles locker room. I do. I know you don't remember it because I told Mike Florio like when we were there, it was like week 16. Oh. You should have been paid already.
Right.
We were giving ourselves that one last look in the mirror to make sure we look good. I don't know why I cared. I wasn't playing. I was just holding the clipboard.
You threw me a touchdown, but go ahead.
But I was sitting there, and I remember you just yelled at the top of your lungs. You went, "Ugh!" And your like vein was popping out of your neck. And I was like, what's up, man? You're like, I can't play like this. I can't play knowing the season's almost over and I'm this close to getting money and helping my family.
Right, right.
And you're like, it's hard to go out. And I was like, I know. I think I was even like, just be careful.
Right, right.
Because you can't go psycho when you know you haven't been paid like that.
You know what happened the next week?
The next week?
I didn't play.
You didn't play. Right.
I didn't play, and I'm bringing this up because I go out there the next week. We're playing against Kansas City.
Yeah, was it Kansas City?
I believe it was Kansas City.
Right.
And I said, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
I was healthy enough to play.
Right.
I'm saying that, and I'll bite this bullet for Lamar Jackson.
Right. You're right. It was Kansas City.
No player.
Yeah.
Look at DeMar Hamlin.
Right.
What just happened. We know when we go out there, our career can be taken just like that. Now, this is an example of how your life can be taken like that. Why would a player go out there and take on all the risk? I don't feel like Lamar Jackson should step on the field without a long-term contract.
Yeah, I hear you.
A lot of people are going to say, oh, the franchise tag is $40-something million.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No. It's $40 million versus $200 guaranteed.
Yeah.
If he's not getting the guarantee that he wants,
right,
I'm not stepping on that field. And then you're going to have a lot of fans, even teammates, that might feel a certain way.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when you're done, you're going home with your own aches and pains, your own family dynamic, your own situation. So, yes, team is when we're in the locker room. Team is when we're in the field. But when we go to the business table, your teammate don't need to be in that room. The fans don't need to be in that room. That's between you and the owner.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I agree with everything you say. The only one thing that's interesting about that specific conversation is I think they've given him some big offers of guaranteed money. I just don't, you know, it might not be to where he wants it. So that's where it gets dicey.
So let's
talk
about
it. But I'm never going to be a mad man about a man.
So let's talk about it, right? Because
we're
two ex-players.
Yeah.
Did it at a high level, transitioned into media. Okay? So with Lamar Jackson, if he's a free agent, open market,
right,
how much does he get and guarantee from a San Francisco 49ers or a Jets or even a Miami Dolphin team or all these teams that may be a quarterback away?
Right. The Falcons are another one I look at.
How much does he get?
I mean, he should get.
How much he should get. How much can he get? How much will he get if he's a free agent?
I think he's going to get somewhere. He would get somewhere in the range of like 200 guaranteed, 190, it's 180,
somewhere
in there.
Pretty much anything he wants.
Pretty much, right.
So if he knows that, why would he take the 150 or whatever the numbers are that the Baltimore Ravens are throwing out there?
Sure.
Because that's the market. The market is what somebody will be willing to pay you.
I got you. I know. See, where I think that's another good one, I think Deshaun Watson in that contract has messed the market up. And I think that's where some of the owners are going, wait, that was just a dumb contract by a desperate, dumb owner in Cleveland.
Right.
And they're trying to like, wait, that's not shouldn't be the benchmark, right? You guys, they put themselves, but the player doesn't want to hear that because you're like, no, that's
doesn't
what
matter.
It is.
Well, what about Russell Wilson's contract? What about Aaron Rodgers' contract, right?
Yeah.
Josh Allen, Mahomes, there's a lot of benchmarks out there.
Yeah. Allen and Mahomes, I would tell you, are probably below market price for him right now. They're like 3 years in. They kind of took team friendly, like, okay, we know what's going like this, but we'll take our $42 million, $45 million a year. you know, which is insane.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Owner come out,
yeah,
says that,
right,
you know, you're going to,
yeah,
you know, we're going to work on a contract, something,
sure,
like that.
Sure.
Do you think it happens this year or you happen next year? And if it does, what range?
Well, if it happens, if they win, right, it's going to happen this year for, yeah, sure.
I think so.
Yeah. You know, he's going to have a lot to stand on. And like you're just talking about, he's going, wait, I run the football. I do some things. My shoulders hurt right now. I'm about to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be compensated. Now, my thing with Jalen Hurts is I'm just not sold on how good he is yet.
Right.
Like I know he's good, and I get a lot of hate. I don't know how much you know, like, about Jalen Hurts has become like a thing here. I was trending on Twitter yesterday.
Really? What happened? What did you say, Chris?
Well, I just tried to say, because people are trying to make, you know, put him in Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow class, and I just said I'm not ready to put him there yet.
Why?
Because he's got an all-star team around him. He's not asked to do what they do. Run up the middle for eight. Run up the middle for eight. Run up the middle for eight. Throw a wide-open slant to A.J. Brown. Run up the middle for eight. Throw a fade and jump all A.J. Brown. I'm not ready to say that. That's in the class of those other quarterbacks.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Give me the top three, Tom Brady's top three traits.
I would say first is I would go with his arm.
Okay, then second.
Then I would probably go with his clutchness.
Okay, then the third.
Then his leadership.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Peyton Manning. Give me Peyton Manning's top three.
Probably his ability to read a defense, I would say, is probably the number one thing.
Okay.
Right? You know? I know where you're going with this.
And then we can go even Drew Brees. My biggest thing is sometimes when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, you talk about Josh Allen and all the greats, Lamar, yeah, Jackson, talking about the physical stuff. But, bro, what y'all bring to the table from a quarterback position when it comes to leadership, when it comes to meeting guys where they're at. Like,
yeah,
even you and I have this relationship because you were the person in the locker room, not Josh McDaniels, not Kyle Orton, that was able to calm me down, that was able to speak to me, that was able to say, hey, knucklehead, you don't have a catch yet, but in the second half, you might end with 10 for 150, right? So you have to account for that.
I agree.
I don't think the Eagles are the Eagles this year without him. You want to plug and play? I mean, you want to put in any other quarterback? They're not winning 13, 14 games, brother. I don't think.
Well, yeah, I disagree with you there.
I do.
You know.
What's the Minshew?
Well, yeah, like Minshew. Listen,
so you think Minshew?
No, they're not going to be in the Super Bowl, but they would have a playoff team,
right?
I'll just say that. That's where, you know, again, Jalen Hurts has been good. I'm not disagreeing with a lot of you saying. I'm just saying I think there's been a little too much credit given to him where we're not looking at the totality of the team and going that he gets to play against a run defense almost every play, right? They're going, oh, no, we have to stop the run. So it's these coverages that
you're missing it.
I like all the – listen,
let me tell
I'm
you
not.
Why you're missing it, and I'm going to keep using us as an example.
Yeah, fine. Keep using us as an example. I want to talk about you for a second
here. Who were the first two in the facility when we played for the Broncos?
First two in the facility? I don't know. I guess
players.
Was it maybe? I'm gonna say Kyle Orton might have been there first. No, I don't know.
It was me. You were in the boat. You were in there on
the
bubble
in the Bosey ball.
Doing your core exercise.
I didn't want to like pat myself LeBron on the
James.
Back.
He was doing the LeBron James workouts before LeBron was doing the workouts. Like it was you over there. Then I would be in the weight room. Yeah. Then I would come in and do my.
You catch the ball while I throw.
But the reason why I added catching the ball was because you asked me.
Yeah.
You said, Brandon, can you come catch this for me? And then we started a nice little morning routine.
Right.
Okay. I'm saying all to say is you made me better.
Yeah.
And then by other guys seeing us doing that, first ones in, then other guys start coming.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is that guy.
I agree with that.
Right. So, yeah, you can talk about, oh, it's so easy, this and that. But is he not the one that's keeping the Eagles out of the receiver room with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith? Now, they're different cats. But it could be that quarterback. It could be that quarterback that's saying, meet me there at 5 in the morning, put some extra work in. That just goes a long way.
It does go a long way. All I'm saying is there's other guys out there doing that stuff too, and they don't have the Eagles around them, and so we're not going to see because they don't have the rest of the team to show us that. That's all I would say to you to that. That's all.
And that's why you're trending.
Well, it is. What happens is I become a hater. You know me.
Yeah. No, you're real. You keep it real.
Or I become a racist.
Right.
And it's
that's
like,
what they hit you up with
Well,
that.
I get that too. Like,
no,
he doesn't doesn't like him. Yeah, you not. He doesn't like.
You got more black friends than I got black friends.
Exactly. That's what I'd like you, the people, to know a little.
Boy, but hey, let me get the real. We'll tell about the other different days off the field.
That's what I mean. People don't understand that about me.
Man,
so
you don't owe them no answers, no explanations.
I know. I don't.
You know who you are.
All right. So let's stop
hating on my boy Chris.
Thanks.
He's just giving y'all the realness.
All right. Let's get to you though, because I do. You got to go, and I want to make sure we get to some of the. You're having one of the most special off-field post careers ever.
Wow.
I mean, you're doing your own thing with your own production company, and then what you're doing on Showtime with my dad and Paramount and all that, and then the thing you got here with your gym.
That's right. That's right.
Athletes first.
Yep. So listen, this is how I look at it, man. My life's work is bridging the gap in the mental health community, and I think there's more things that go into that, right? Like, you can't just let me talk to a therapist or let me go meditate. You know, it's how we train, it's how we eat, it's how we sleep, it's how we recover,
right?
It's our routine,
right?
We are the healthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Serena Williams, LeBron James.
You're teaming up with Tom Brady, is that correct?
That's right.
Right?
TB12 will handle all of our medical. So basically, House of Athlete Plus, that's in the app store today, House of Athlete Plus, it's our entire experience when we walked into the facility, everything integrated and given to the adult fitness member out there and the youth athlete. So how we eat, how we sleep, how we train, having a coach there, that's what it is. There's a lot of trends, a lot of fads out there. Tom Brady's passionate about, you know, helping people live better.
Yeah,
I'm passionate
about
helping people live better. So coming together where we do the physical stuff and Tom Brady's doing the recovery stuff is just a legendary collaboration. We have another person that we're working with on the mental fitness side. We'll make that announcement here in the next couple of months. But you'll have these three hidden monsters just disrupting this entire wellness space.
Yeah.
And it's not for us. It's like our real passion to help people.
Yeah. And it ain't disrupting. It's actually finally going to be putting it going in the right direction the way things should be
done. That's right.
Where, you know, you...
Well, you... Think about it, bro. Like,
right.
Remember what was I doing? Remember this?
Yeah. Like... Yeah.
Right. So, like, you're seeing me on the sideline. I just came off a hip surgery, about to go into another hip surgery. I'm
trying to get your muscles.
You see
and
me,
hips
you're like, brother,
right,
can you go see this person?
Right.
You sent me to two doctors, one in Toronto, one
in
Colorado Springs that was coming to our facility.
Right.
That right there, and it made me better right away. I felt better. I performed better.
Right.
So how do we take that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Walking in, you having a Greek there, rocking here, M-A-T, A-R-T. And being able to give that to all these other people that's out there living in pain, training in pain. Like, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing.
Hey, you're the man.
That's it.
Athletes first. Brandon Marshall.
House of Athlete.
I don't know why I said that. Sorry.
House of Athlete
Plus is the app.
There you go.
House of Athlete Plus. Mm-hmm. Coming to a household near you.
There you go.
Pay attention to my man, Brandon Marshall. Last thing I want to do before you go. You're cool.
Right.
So your T-shirt and whatever pants you got on working here, I don't know what that is. Is that those cool pants right
you
now?
You like it?
Not for me. No. For you.
You're smooth, too. You like the blue.
I'm all blue or all black. That's kind of just what I do.
I love it.
But I can't pull off this
the
right there.
The blue looks good.
Thanks, man.
I like
appreciate it.
Keep it simple. Minimalistic.
Hey, follow Brandon Marshall wherever he is. He's the man. He's one of my idols in life. He's a Sims family idol. He really is.
I'm a kid.
You're an extension of the family. You're my brother. Brother from another? That's right. He's black. I'm white. We don't care. We're buddies.
There you go.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Getting in the backlash from Philly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they hate me. So I was just, you know, having good conversations with Von, a person I look up to. Helped him on his podcast, and next thing you know, it's on. So you see how that goes. Yeah.
Micah Parsons, Cowboys linebacker, making a shitstorm. Let's try to make a shitstorm today. At least you know it's coming. At least you got fair warning. We're going to try to stir it up as much as we can.
Okay. Well, we're the enemy of the people right here. Me and him are...
Yeah, I'm a man of the people for sure.
Right.
I'm with the people.
Right.
You know, they tell me I have the best Twitter on social media.
It's a great Twitter feed. It's awesome. That was awesome. It really was. Well, as we were talking about before we came on the show, he was kind of joking with me. He's like, oh, man, I've been seeing your tweets. He's like, I think you and me are the most hated two people in Philadelphia. So he's been aware. Well, okay. I mean, let's just start there. Let's start with the elephant in the room. All right. Okay. Yeah, you nor me are trying to be disrespectful to Jalen Hurts.
No.
We got respect for what he's doing. No. I think we just are recognizing this is an unbelievable team they have.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like the most talented, well-put-together football team in the league, right?
For sure. Offensive, defensive, right. Special teams.
I mean, the backup defensive end got double-digit sacks.
Yeah, Brandon Graham.
Right. I mean, that's beast. How good they are. That's one of the best offensive lines you've probably seen in your 2 years in the NFL so far.
Best offensive line.
Right. Is it the best duo of receivers you've seen so far?
Best one and two, for right. Sure. Oh, I mean, okay. you could compete with...
It's in the competition.
T and Jamar,
Chase,
but
right.
They're definitely...
So that's what you were talking. It was an MVP conversation like we've had, right? And that's where I think we were both like, hey, let's pump the brakes. We like what he's doing, but he's not Patrick Mahomes or some of those guys quite yet.
Yeah, and another thing I was saying is I feel like in that term, if your team's so good, is the QB the most valuable player?
Right.
You know, I look at Justin Jefferson as a guy who should be a MVP caliber year.
Right.
You know, that's an MVP caliber year, but he don't get the recognition because he's a receiver.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, I just disagree with how we look upon awards and things like that.
I agree with you. If you win and you're the quarterback on the best team, you're in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't be that way all the time.
Well, some of the frustration too, Mike, yeah. I think comes from the fact that defensive players are just always an afterthought. You've got the Defensive Player of the Year award. That's it. That's for defensive players. You're not part of the MVP conversation. There's only been two guys ever to win it. Alan Page in 71 and Lawrence Taylor in 86. And I think part of what you're saying is you can be an MVP and not play offense. It's possible.
Right. Why wasn't T.J. Watt have more votes for MVP last year?
Right.
When he had 20-plus sacks?
Right.
You know, that's crazy.
Why didn't you?
That's what I'm saying. I think value, we're talking about value of the team. I believe that there's a lot of defensive players that bring the same amount of value as a quarterback. Like Ray, you know. Ray, I think in that 2000, he was – as valuable.
Oh, more valuable as a quarterback.
Than, no
Trent
offense.
Dilfer.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, because Ray led that team. Like, that defense won the championship. But Ray wasn't – he just won a defensive player. It was just like, that was it.
Well, do you get frustrated, too, with the fact that even with defensive player of the year, kind of along the lines we're talking, it's all about sacks? Like, because I used to try to explain to people, like, with you specifically, like, you don't get to rush – you didn't get to rush the passer as much as everybody else.
No.
But – we're still getting the same type of numbers, and then your effect as a stand-up linebacker and the things you were doing there was special. But that wasn't enough of a sexy stat to get you in the conversation.
Yeah, I think that they focalize these points in the league where it's like, if you're a DN, you must have sacks. If you're a cornerback, you must have picks. But then we get Trayvon Diggs, who has 11 picks. We're like, oh, well, he has 11 picks, but he gave up yards.
Right.
It's just like, what do you want?
You know?
Or you can have all the sacks. Look at Judon or Myles Garrett, but, you know, for some people it's okay for them to have 15, 16 sacks, but other players it's not. Like, I don't know where they create the idea.
Yeah, it's a lot of hype and BS is what you're saying.
Yeah, because some people will have 17 sacks, but they were like, well, then Aaron Donald's year, TJ had 18 sacks, but they're like, well, Aaron Donald's the most dominant player. And it's like, oh, wow. So now it's not about sacks.
Yeah.
It's about this.
We're going to make something else.
We just need some consistency. That's all I ask.
All right, I got you.
When you... make your voice heard, whether it's with Von Miller's podcast or on Twitter or whatever, and you get blowback, does that make you say, I'm going to shy away, or do you just say, the hell with it, I'm just going to still be me, I don't care? And or does it even make you more motivated to speak your mind, and if people don't like it, too bad?
I would say it doesn't make me shy away, it makes me stand firm. Like, I feel like if you have a voice, that's a powerful thing. You just got to know when and where to use it. Like, it's a time and place for everything.
Right.
But I feel like this is the type of stuff I want to do things like you guys. Like, I want to be on TV.
You want to talk these things out.
Yeah, I want to talk these things out. Like, I got a mind that I like to expand, and I like to learn new things. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Right.
But when I'm right, I'm right. So yeah. I feel like I should be able to speak. Because I think as players, we often fear, like, oh, we're in this box of just being a football player, we shouldn't speak. But in reality, we should speak more. Like, think about it. Who makes the money? The players or the people up top? The players make the money. They come to see us. They're not paying to see Roger, no offense.
Like, right.
And I respect all the guys. I love Troy Vincent and all them guys, but the players don't use their value enough. Like, so I'm like, bro, like, you are the reason why they come to games. Like, they're not coming to games to see anyone else. Like WWE, I love John Cena. People come to the WWE to see John Cena.
Yeah.
They don't come to WWE to see Vince McMahon.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just not a thing.
Yeah, I know.
You sound like somebody that may want to run for union president someday. You thinking about that?
Maybe. I want to be an ambassador for the league one day.
Yeah. I can see that in your future. Yeah, I definitely can.
But you're right. The game is about the players. You're the ones taking the physical risks. We saw that with Damar Hamlin. If anybody had any doubt whatsoever about the extent of the risk that you guys take when you put your uniform on and cross that thick white stripe, we saw it on January 2nd. And I hope it woke some people up about what you guys really deal with all the time.
And the thing with Damar, I just hated that people try to voice an opinion on Damar. Like, I feel like he should be the only one. People were trying to make careers off of Damar. Mm-hmm. That's not right. You know, no one can know what he went through besides him or his close ones. Like, they should be the only ones speaking. And I felt like there was way too many analysts that tried to point a proven or try to put plot twist to this incident, which is sick to me.
Right. Yeah. You know? Right. All right. So give us what are we missing in Dallas? What gets us over the hump? How can we beat the 49ers and be in this game and beat the Eagles? Where do you think you're at right now as a team?
I feel like we're right there.
Right.
We're two plays away.
Yeah.
We're two or three plays away. And, hey, I know that shit.
Don't worry.
Yeah, but I know it sounds cliche to always say it, but if you really look at that game, we're legit two, three plays away.
Yeah.
Or a couple of inches away.
Well, you take the two interceptions away, I think the game's going to go down to the wire.
Super wire.
Right. Right.
You know, and we just got to be more accountable, more aware, and then we got to go after a free agency, too.
Yeah.
What areas?
I would like to see us get I like DeRon Payne a lot.
Yeah, you need more big bodies in the middle.
We got too many rushers.
Yeah, you got too many speed guys. It's something we talked about. It always worried me about you guys.
I would love to get another rusher.
Right.
I would love to get a big body corner out there. I hope we keep LV. And shit, everyone else wants a receiver, might as well get a receiver too. like the money, you can't spend the money. You got to spend the money. Why not spend it? But I think we got a chance. I think we could be in Vegas next year.
I do too.
With Amari Cooper getting traded last year, and then we saw what happened with the receiver market. Was there any talk in the locker room? Like, why'd we move Amari? $20 million is nothing. You got guys kissing $30 million now.
I still don't understand the Amari situation, and I ain't asked enough questions to figure out what was going on and why that happened. But I love Coop, and I love what he brung. Hopefully, we get someone his caliber again. You know, he's a man. I don't understand.
Are we done with stand up linebacker? Like, at the end of the year, it was like it seemed like it's D end all the time.
Yeah.
And then if it was like an obvious a run situation, then they let you be in the middle of the defensive linebacker so you could run sideline to sideline and make the tackle.
That's the thing I love about DQ, bro. Like, all depend on the game plan is different.
Yeah.
AFC teams pass the ball. So against them, he's like, your superpower isn't covering people when you can affect the quarterback all game. But when we play somebody like the 49ers and stuff, or the Tampa Bay. Stop the run a little bit. Let's bring you back. And then second and third and longs, let's send you. You know, so he creates a great balance for me. And I would say he creates a great structure for me throughout the week. Like, he literally had me on my own plan. Like, I had no plan like everyone else.
Yeah.
And he helped me, like, truly identify, like, when you have a special talent or a special player, you can't treat them like everyone else.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And he was able to, like, divide that and keep everything together at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, all back-to-back seasons, all pros, is all dedicated to Dan Quinn and how he believed in me and he worked with me, studied with me, trained with me, and everything. Like,
all pro on the football field. Do you think he can sell something here?
Let's go.
Let's see. What you got? What you got today? When we hit, we see it.
Oh, I want Sleep Number smart bed. I got a Sleep Number bed for you if you want it. Go get it right now. If you want to be an all-pro on the field, off the field, you must get your sleep. It's too important. The reason why Chris stays so woke on the show is because he sleeps well.
See? You know it.
I'm telling you. And that's just the truth about it. I sleep well every night in my Sleep Number Bart bed, 360 gravity mode, anything you want.
Damn.
You want to watch a movie, read a book before bed,
right.
You can adjust the bed.
You can adjust. I mean, I like that about those Sleep Numbers.
Up,
right.
Book open.
Damn.
Yeah. When
Damn.
I want my feet rubbed, I elevate my feet up,
right.
Lay back a little bit, have my girl massage my feet.
Damn. I need that Sleep Number bed.
Yeah, you need the Sleep Number bed.
I'm telling the world,
go get your Sleep Number smart bed.
Damn, you Cowboys, you got this damn Sleep Number cornered the market, huh?
Yeah, we got this thing cornered the market.
It used to be Dak doing Sleep Number. Now you took that off from him. You're stealing his money. You just like he's got enough money.
Yeah, he's making too much money.
He's okay.
Hey, he's just breaking it off. He just handed me a
couple
dollars.
He's giving me a few cookie crumbs.
Yeah, cookie crumbs for sure.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First and goal, 1 yard line. Garoppolo in the shotgun. McCaffrey to his right. They're going to give it to McCaffrey coming left. McCaffrey, touchdown! San Francisco! He has thrown one. He has caught one. He has run one.
The dynamite has detonated.
I like how he clipped that, creating the impression that he threw it and caught it on the same play, which he probably could do if he really wanted to.
Maybe.
Here he
could
is.
Be. He's that talented.
The PFT Comeback Player of the Year. See, the real awards come out Thursday night, but we issue ours right away. You were the Comeback Player of the Year at ProFootballTalk.com. Christian McCaffrey with us here. Great to see you. How's everything?
Appreciate you guys having me.
You were the PFT Comeback Player of the Year?
I did. Yeah,
you did?
I did.
Damn, yes. You're supposed to say, no, I don't pay attention to your crap,
Oreo. I pay attention to all of that. I appreciate that. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
The whole concept of Comeback Player of the Year is controversial among the people who debate it because,
right.
And I don't want to name names, but if it's a guy who just was never very good and all of a sudden had a good year, no, I mean, what are you coming back from?
Yeah.
You came back from adversity. You came back from injury. You came back from the fact that you play a position where every time you get the ball, you are going into a mass of humanity that creates a very real risk of an injury. And I respect anyone that plays running back in the NFL because you're guaranteed at some point to get banged up with all those huge bodies in there.
You're hired. Yeah. You're hired. Appreciate that.
No, that's why he takes care of himself. All right, so let's get to the big moment of the year, first off. Just like, when did the lights come on, or when did you start to go, wow, I'm going to be leaving Carolina and San Francisco is a real thing? You know, kind of explain how that all went down and the transition happened.
Yeah, so I got traded on Thursday at about 11 p.m. Eastern time. Didn't say bye to any of my teammates. Was on a flight 7 a.m. Got to Santa Clara on Friday morning. Practiced for the Niners. This is after preparing for. I thought I was playing Tampa all week.
Right.
And practiced for the Niners on Friday. Didn't know what I was doing. Head was spinning. Spent the next 18 hours, whatever it was, with the coaches trying to learn as many plays as humanly possible.
Well, so wait. So, I mean, you didn't have any even like an inkling maybe a week before the trade? When did you start to like go, okay, wait, maybe there's something might happen with me in my life here?
Well, it was a lot of
chatter.
There was a lot of chatter and speculation, and I didn't believe anything until it was, you know, cut and dry. And I think later in that week it started to become more and more real. I think Carolina was just waiting for a better offer, and they were honest with me and upfront, and I appreciated that.
Right.
But once I knew that it was about a 90% thing getting done, I started to think about it more. But it's tough, man. When you're, you know, those are my guys. I was a captain on that team. I still thought we could win, and I love those guys. I love going to battle with them every day. And it was an interesting time of my life because it's such an emotional experience to get traded from a place that you've called home for 5 years.
Sure.
Go across the country, and now you got a new group of brothers. And there's a lot of emotions that come with it that you really can't address because it's. As soon as you touch down, you're in the playbook trying to just get as familiar as possible with the offense.
It's business time. Right.
And you landed in a great spot for yourself and for the 49ers. Did you find yourself paying attention to what the Panthers were doing? Because they ended up doing better than people thought they would do without you on the team, with Steve Wilks as the interim head coach. Were you from time to time kind of thinking, they're doing pretty well. I wonder how much better they'd do if I was still there.
You definitely, as a competitor, you pay attention to all that stuff, to be transparent. I'm happy. I think we've got Coach Wilks now on the
on the good look at side. That. So damn, right.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
I think there's, you see that happen a lot when coaches leave or when players get traded and the team kind of rallies behind one call, and it's common. And once again, you want those guys to do well because those are my teammates. Those are the guys that, you know, I really love those guys, and you want them to do well, but the competitive nature in you is like, you don't want them to do better than you're doing. So you definitely pay attention to a little bit of that. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, no one else's success has anything to do with yours. But it was an interesting emotional dynamic.
I bet. I never was good enough to get traded, but I cried when I got cut. I know that. That was emotional because you're leaving your buddies that way, too. Something Mike and I talk about all the time, you know, of course, my history with Kyle Shanahan a little bit. We always hear players in San Francisco, whether they get cut or there, they're always like, Kyle's a genius. And, you know, I've told him before how great of a communicator Kyle is, and he'll put on video and tell you the rhyme and reason. Like, explain Kyle to people a little bit, if you can, and what makes him a genius on the offensive side of the ball there.
Yeah, I think...
Have you ever been any part of anything like Kyle so far?
Never.
Never.
Okay. I've had a lot of coaches.
Right.
I've had some great coaches. And when I came to San Fran, I felt like a full rookie again. The things that I learned in the meetings that I'm still learning in the meetings, and watching him watch tape is one of the coolest experiences I've had as a football player, and to do that every day. And it's no, you know, when people say he's a genius and multiple people say he's a genius, it's not shocking to me, because that's a word I would use. You know, to do what he's done and to be able to string together different plays that are sustainable constantly and all of his years in the NFL is impressive.
What is it? Like, what is it when he's watching film? Like, what's I know he's saying some four-letter words.
I'm still learning.
But you're learning just how quickly he diagnosed things and then can say it to you and tell you what to look for and clues? What is it that impresses you?
I think the first thing I learned is he understands all 22 positions and everyone's job on every single play. He can teach you about the defense just as well as he can teach you about the offense.
Right.
And he knows exactly where the ball is supposed to go on each play. And there's a purpose to every play. And sometimes the purpose might be to set up another play.
Yeah.
And it's the timing in which he calls the play. And it's who he's getting the ball to. And it's when he's getting the ball to. I mean, that's why you can be on your third string rookie quarterback and still go on a huge run.
Yeah, it looked like an awesome offense.
It's a sustainable offense. It's one that works. and it's one that's worked for a long time, and I'm extremely happy and revived to be a part of it. Yeah.
What was your take when Brock Purdy came in? What was your thought when he first is under center, last guy taken in the draft, third on the depth chart, here we go? What was going through your own mind as you're adjusting to basically the emergency option taking over?
When I first got traded, Brock was the guy who I would spend extra time with, and we would go out to the turf field when everything was over, and he would call out the plays for me, and I would just walk to where I lined up and talk through it. And at the time, he's the rookie third-string quarterback, and so I was familiar with him. I was familiar with him calling plays and all that stuff, and it was funny how it ended up happening. But you know, I think I've played with 11 quarterbacks in 5 years, 11 or 12 quarterbacks in six, no, now 13 in 6 years, something along, I might be wrong on the number, but it's
something
along
that. You're the kiss of
death. So I know what it's like to have quarterbacks come in the middle of games. So it's familiar, you know, to me, but I was still confident. You know, I was complete. I think everybody was confident. Those guys were extremely confident. They were with him in training camp. They saw, you know, and he was practicing against the best defense in the league for the whole year and doing really well. And so I think our defensive guys were extremely confident as well. So, you know, I just worried about me getting my job done. I wasn't worried about who was at quarterback or receiver. It was just trying to focus on my job.
Well, let's talk about some quarterback. Were you a little nervous a few weeks ago when you might have to play some quarterback? Well, I mean, you can throw it a little. You know, could you have called plays in the huddle and done all that?
I said I felt like a rookie with the running back positions, and going in at quarterback, that's a whole nother level. You know, I think at that point, we were all ready for anything. It was whatever you needed us to do, we were going to try anything to go out there and string together a win. And you're never out of the fight. Anything can happen. Defense can get a couple turnovers, a couple big plays here and there.
Right.
Special teams
can
return
something. Oh, for a while. Hey, you scored that touchdown, made it 7-7. I'm thinking, holy crap, they're going to win this game with Josh Johnson.
I know. And when he went down, it was you know, there wasn't ever any doubt. It's tough to win a football game in the NFL without a quarterback, let alone the NFC Championship game. And I wish they had changed the rule where you're allowed to carry three. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen that happen other than the Broncos COVID quarterback situation that one year where the receiver had to play.
Right. Hidden.
But I think they should change that. You know, it's not good for us, obviously. It's not good for fans watching to not have a quarterback. So I hope there's something that they do with that moving forward so that, you know, you can stay in the fight.
Christian, is it easier to process the way the season ended because it was just like a stuff happens kind of an outcome? It wasn't some rip your heart out in the final play of the game. You just kind of knew early on we're pretty much done here.
I think it was harder. I think it actually made it harder because it's what could have been. And I just feel like it feels like you had something taken from you. And I think it hurt, you know, and obviously that's a hell of a team. I don't make excuses for losing ever, but that is, you know, and they're a good team with a good defense and you know, but
you didn't get to throw your best punches at them.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fighting with one arm.
Right.
Brandon Ayuk had some interesting comments in the aftermath of the loss to the Eagles. Basically, we were ready to expose that defense, and I think the Chiefs are going to expose that defense. Do you care to comment on what Brandon Ayuk had to say? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Or do you have nothing to say?
I don't care to comment, actually. Yeah. I'm gonna call Brandon after this and be like, man, you're killing me.
We play this team next year.
No, not even that. Yeah, but I think both teams are good. I think it's always tough because in the NFL, especially in the Super Bowl, anything can happen. I think we were all salty after that last game because of the way it went down and felt like, you know, we had the team that could do it.
You did.
So that's. I think a lot of that's just frustrating.
You got there the week you played the Chiefs, right? So you're one of the few people in the league, you played both teams a little. You know, what? Just give us like your little assessment of the game and the matchup and what you thought of both teams.
It's funny. It was the first time in my life going into an NFL game, I couldn't tell you one thing about the Chiefs' defense.
Right.
I was worried about the terminology and listening to the different plays and formations. And
right.
I think Kyle strung together about a 10-play, 11-play package for me. I ended up being out there for about 20 of them. And so there were multiple times I was just having to ask Jimmy, hey,
where do I go?
What this is, what's here? And, you know, we made it work, but I didn't know anything. I know a couple of their guys, and I played against them.
You played them two years ago in KC, right?
And it was a barn burner. Came down to, you know, the end there. But obviously you'd look at what they've done over the years with the quarterback that they have, and, you know, the tight end and the skilled players that they have, and their defense plays well. They're going to be tough to beat.
Tell us what you have going on with the P&G Battle of the Paddles.
Yeah, so the Battle of the Paddles tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Twitch. It's a massive ping pong tournament. So ping pong is probably the most competitive thing other than football for me. And so I'm excited about it. I know there's guys like Jared Goff who are talking a bunch of mess, saying that they're the best in the league. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's live on Twitch, 7 p.m. You can buy a bunch of different exclusive brand. There's a lot of exclusive brand deals. So the fans can interact. The fans can have fun watching and get some cool deals. But it'll be fun. We'll have to.
All right, so on Twitch, P&G Battle of the Paddles, and are you the kind of guy like you have guys over the house on like Monday night and you watch game and do ping pong battles or what?
I'm familiar with ping pong.
You're familiar.
I play enough to want to join the tournament.
Okay.
So is it like high end Olympics? Like they're just wailing away at the ball back and forth for 5 minutes?
Is it, oh wow. No, it won't be that. You know, actually maybe we'll see. I have no idea. I've never seen these guys play. I think I played J.C. Horn, who's a Panthers player, first round.
Okay.
And I have experience playing him, and so
you know his game.
I know his game. He knows mine. He's right. Probably pissed off that he drew me first. But no, it'll be a lot of fun. 7 p.m. on Twitch.
You know, one last thing, and I may regret this. For our awards, the only prize is satisfaction. But with that said, oh, here we go.
Oh,
hey,
we got
Trey
Christian
Lance.
We got Trey Lance.
I know, and we got Trey Lance.
Good work, man. Good to see you.
We're on the same flight here.
That's
all right. Don't worry.
Sorry, Trey. Good to see you, man.
I'm wasting someone's time.
You're all good. He's only talking about ping pong. It's nothing big. What a guy. Seriously. He's the man.
Good seeing you, Trey. Good seeing you, Trey. Let me change gears. Who's going to be a week one starter?
It's funny. As soon as he can, knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Ping pong? I'll probably ping. First, I'll be number one ping pong starter, and I don't know who's second. So.
Here's what I was saying: we don't give any.
I just
trophies.
Hope it's not me, quarterback.
We don't give any trophies or awards for our comeback player of the year. But coach of the year, we've developed a thing where I ask the coach, "What do you want?" and I send it. So, what do you want? I'll send you whatever you want for comeback player of the year. That's why I say I may regret it, because God knows what he's going to ask for. What do you want? Bottle of wine, bottle of scotch.
You know what
he's
do?
Rich. Okay.
I need a new putter. Because I'm going to get into golf this year.
What kind of putter?
Whatever the best one is. I don't know enough about golf, but a putter, I will love you forever. Right. I appreciate it.
Wow. Comeback player of the year gets a putter.
Damn.
I may regret that, but we'll see how much putters cost. Christian McCaffrey, thanks for some of your time. Congratulations on your success. All the best tonight with the Battle
You
of
better
the
make a run in this thing. Like, yeah. You can't be like the guy selling the tournament and get knocked out in the first round.
That's right.
We'll
right.
cover it. There'll all be an right, item exactly on PFT. Right. About
all right.
The outcome
Man
of the
up.
Of the
here we go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I think just trying to have an open mind to the direction we're going, but a clear vision as to where. Open mind, clear. And then there's a little bit of old school mixed in with the new school. And so I'm not the 31-year-old coach who's got all these. There's something I have in the back of my mind relative to how I think we need to be successful that never changes. And those are things that I look forward to putting in place.
That was Monday. This is Friday. Here he is, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. It's going to be hard to get used to that. I typed the other night, Saints coach Sean Payton. That's what feels normal.
I just did a radio clip. You know, he was like, hi, my name's Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos. Anyway, yeah, you know, I'm close with Bill Parcells. And so Bill had smaller stints at a number of places and was fabulous wherever he went. And in this case, 16 years is quite a long time in our league for one team.
Right, it is.
And 16 good years.
Well, I know it had to be hard for you to walk away, but was it harder to walk away or harder to pick the next destination?
I think harder to walk away. I think I knew it was the right decision. I knew I needed a break. And you start paying attention to things like your health. And, you know, people would say all the time, well, you got to look at your schedule. You got to look at the, there was just a way that I'm used to doing things, and it requires this for me. It's not for everyone. And so I felt like it was a good time. And it had nothing to do with, well, we no longer have Breeze. I mean, that year was a year and a half before. You know, we played other quarterbacks. It was just time, and I knew I was interested in doing the network stuff. But what's funny is when that begins and you wake up the next day, you're not in that, like, that race that exists, right? You know, you actually leave the racetrack. And
right.
So for the next year, there's this two-mile racetrack with lights on. You can smell the gasoline. You can hear the cars. And they're all going. And, you know, you're still drawn to it, but there's, like, this – it's different. There's not that same sense of urgency. You're spending more time golfing. You're doing these other things.
Right.
I struggle without the itinerary, really. Like, we're so institutionalized with schedule.
Right. You're and, like, I have free time? What do
yeah,
I do with this?
And then
this?
I'm not good. And then pretty soon my wife looks at me like – we're not going to do this for the next 300 days, are we? Like,
right.
This isn't the current plan, right?
Right.
And so.
So when does it hit? Like, when did it hit where you were like, I'm itching and okay,
yeah,
I got to
get
back in that race?
Throughout the season, you know, working Sundays was great. I would say this, that group.
Howie and
man,
Jimmy.
Man, and both groups, I worked with both shows, but the camaraderie and the culture that existed there. We had a dinner last night. They're doing we do the Super Bowl. This is my last week. I'm working,
right?
You know, with the Super Bowl, and they've got that figured out. Like, I see the things that are important with Eric Shanks and Bill, and you know, the producers, and then everyone involved in that production is special. But I think I was only getting it Sunday. It was just Sunday, man. My clothes were laid out Saturday.
Yeah,
I couldn't
yeah.
wait to be there, 5
right.
a.m. And I'd stay till like the last one in the building. And you got your football fix in the green room. But I think this, you can have your perfect Sunday, your narrative hits. You know, it might be we're talking about the defense, the score fits.
Right.
Everything you hit on.
Everything
kinda,
I said, it came
yeah,
to fruition.
You get in your car and you drive home.
Right.
And it still doesn't replace the feeling of that racetrack when
I
you
bet.
Win.
I know.
And so ultimately it's like I want to go back. And so, all right, here it is. The first morning after you take that job, you're back on this. Like, all right, everyone else is 31 other teams are going. I've got to go. And there's a completely different sense of urgency then to your day.
Right.
And like everyone else is going now. And so now we got to hire a staff. We got to do all these things. We're a little bit behind. We've got to. And so I think the biggest motivating factor for any of us and all of us is fear of failure. Like, that's pretty
yeah,
powerful.
I hear you. It gets me up every day.
Right?
Right, it
How
does.
Are you juggling it now, though? Because you're 4 days in, but you've still got to take care of business at Fox.
Yeah, that was easy, and we talked about that. I first talked with Eric at Fox. I said, hey, I want to make sure. I don't want to assume that you want me. Maybe you feel like there's – he said, no, absolutely. He said, this year, the fans have been able to get a deeper insight as to – they'd ask me on air, what do you think? And I'd tell them, this is what I think is important. I might do this. And – I'm basically in a hotel room here somewhere in Scottsdale with a laptop. My wife is my assistant with the – because I can accept a Zoom meeting. I have no idea how to initiate one. Right? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. You know how to send the email out to everybody and do all that. Again.
I had a bad – yesterday was a Ronald Curry and I were scheduled for this Zoom, and it was 20 minutes delayed. Pretty soon he invited me because she was it was the only one she wasn't in the room.
Oh, right.
So a lot of Zoom interviews, coaching staff interviews, all of that, and then – What are the, you know, Fox meetings? And so it works easily.
It's
right
like
now.
Regular season, or maybe not
yeah.
even quite as intense. Russell Wilson, your quarterback now, what's the number one thing you're looking forward to working on him about?
Well, I would say this. First off, when you finish 5-12, and there's dirt on a lot of people's hands, and we focus a lot on the quarterback and the head coach, certainly. But I think there are a few things. We have to improve the run game. That has to be – the special teams were awful. So I'm going to hit on these other things and then get back to Russell. The two greatest allies for good quarterback play are good defense and a run game.
Yeah.
How do we take the quarterback off the high dive? If he's up there too often, it's going to be hard to produce. He's going to have to climb up there 6-8 times a game.
Right.
You know, he's going to be 3rd and 8 in a must-have it, you know, and then 2-minute drill. He's going to be goal to go on a 5, you know.
But you don't want to live up there.
No, we don't want to live up there.
That's
no
right.
one does.
Right.
Not even with the
greatest
guys.
Mahomes. Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
So then secondly, what are the things that I think we think he does well? And I think they struggled finding those last year. I'll be honest. I said it on air, and I'm not trying to upset anyone. But our jobs are to figure out what these guys do well and then have them do that. And so I don't like singing, but if I go to a karaoke bar, I want to at least know the words to a song and not try to do something outside my box. So
why don't more coaches do that, though? Because that's good coaching. But it seems like people are stuck to their system and they won't deviate from it.
Look, it's a good question. Those are things you learn from guys like Parcells. You know, so not everyone has the same bloodlines.
Right.
But defensively, if we just play our defense, well, what if this tight end for the Chiefs, all right, Belichick, we played Belichick. Jimmy Graham was rolling 1 year. It was fantastic. It was 2013.
Right.
We were 5-0. We had just beaten the Bears. We're going to New England. We know it's going to be a tough game.
Right.
And I'm telling you, he put a keep Tlaib on Graham on every play. And then he took his outside backer to that side and turned and reroute. And so Jimmy Graham had more attention on him. And I know what Bill was thinking. If I can eliminate that option, because there was so much production coming from that player. And so are you willing to do that defensively, or are you just going to play your under and over fronts and play your coverage and then just
die slowly?
Yeah. So the ability on defense to take a player out of the game, there's some defensive coaches in this league that can do it, and there are others that refuse to try. They'll throw the ball on scout team to this guy, and they'll say, this is what we got to do within our – but there's certain things coverage-wise that some guys just aren't familiar with, and so it's – the answer to your question, I'm not familiar with it, so I don't want to talk, discuss, or install it. And generally, that's a lack of experience.
What about your year off? Just anything that you're going to change to yourself, like where you self-scout thyself a little bit, where you go, you know,
that's a good question. I think the longer you do this, the wiser you get, and you become smart with your battery life. You know, my son's real good at video games, and you know, you're always looking at the battery life.
Yeah.
And so when I first started in 06, you know, I burned battery life sometimes on things that I realize now that aren't as important.
Right.
Yeah, it's not as important.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then, you know, try to get a half hour sweat in 3 times a week. Just clear the brain.
So,
just so you don't die in the office one day with a clicker in your hand and a great idea.
Although, where would you rather die? I mean, really. If you're going to go, that's the place to go.
You just want to make sure the play's drawn out, because it's like that movie Waking Ned Devine, who won the lottery in Ireland, and he was the old man and the lazy boy, and the lottery hit it was like five million pounds.
Right.
It was on the TV screen. He won, and he passed away with the lottery ticket in his hand.
Right, of course. Right.
So there was a rule, evidently, if the winner was deceased, it went back into the next week's. So this little town, his two buddies found the lottery ticket, and they said, well, we're not gonna turn it. So then it was like Waking Ned Devine, that gradually the secret expanded to 28 residents of the town.
Right.
We're going to collect this money and pretend he was alive still.
Yeah.
All right, Zebra Technologies, collecting a little money from them as you do every year, spreading the word about what they do, what's going on.
It's simple. So I don't think a lot of people know this, but for 9 years they've been with the NFL. They just extended an agreement on Wednesday. They're the player tracking system. But let's go back. Every day we go to the store, we swipe our groceries. That barcode is Zebra. That's what they do.
Right.
They're in Walmart. They're in, you name it. They're in every grocery store. Anytime someone's scanning something and giving you a price. So they've begun to put that in the shoulder pads. They started primarily for in-game production content value. How fast is this guy going? 21 miles an hour. My son. So this next-gen stats is Zebra. I began looking at it more for soft tissue injuries. So I can look at data, basically at practice. I can see how far guys are moving.
Right.
If I say I want to reduce a practice, I could say in the old days you'd cut out the time, but you still don't have a tangible way to measure. You know, receivers 6 miles on an average two-a-day practice.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks at 8 miles. Why is that?
Right.
Well, he's doing these other things.
He's doing the post routes and some of the...
But all of a sudden, he's got a hamstring issue. So
right.
it's being a little bit more exact.
Right.
The chip's in the football now. You know, does it cross the goal line or not? I know this drives you guys crazy.
Oh, come on.
But think about this for a second. Right. When you shoot an NBA jump shot...
Right.
And it comes off of your hand, and you see the shot clock light the back of the backboard up.
Right.
You can tell if it's been shot or not.
Yes.
We can do the very same thing. Just envision a goalpost light that goes off.
Please.
When the ball... And then all I have to do as an official is just look at the knee.
Right.
But now I got to look at where's the ball, where's the knee, where's the ball.
Yeah. Oh,
so if I can remove the ball element and see where the knee is, all this stuff, it's 2023.
Yes.
And we're betting on these games.
I know. Well, trust me. We beat it to
all
death.
All over it all
Sean.
The time.
We had
to the point where they tell us to shut up.
Yeah. You ready? That's all right. We're not worried about that. In the Eagles playoff game, a chain broke. They brought the backup chain out. But it was tangled.
Right.
Every one of us watching said, oh, we've been there.
Right.
Like our phone chargers tangled.
Right.
Because you know what we knew? We knew it was going to take 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, but it's all for that drama. Of pulling that stick.
I get it.
You got to pull that stick.
I get it. So I want to come up with the chain that can't tangle.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Like,
let's
you know,
do that.
The fire, you know, the hose that can't tangle.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like,
they should be able to do that. You're right. We got enough money in the league. I think we can
go
it
all day. One last thing, though. I keep seeing that ring hit. You're out of balance. Out of balance, though.
Boom.
Is the only week.
I know, but you need another one now.
Take it.
Oh, we definitely need to.
Did you know that there's no coach who's won a Super Bowl with two different teams? Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that. That's the plan, Mike.
Man, it's a beauty. I really love this ring. You guys did a great job with this one.
The Florida Lee has been on jewelry long before Super Bowl rings.
Right,
And then when Mrs. Benson's involved and it's Tiffany.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's a win. That's a win-win right there.
She's the best.
Right.
Does it feel like it's been 13 years?
No, it feels like it's probably been 7 or 8. But it feels long enough away where – here's the one thing about this game. And – we got close, you know, we had the championship game with the no call and everything. But on that staff was Mike Westhoff and a bunch of other players. And as we get older, you enjoy giving gifts more than receiving. You know what I mean? Like, you ever have a surprise, you can't wait.
I'm at that age, first time in my life.
You're
fired
up.
I can't wait to give my family and kids.
Where do you see this?
Right.
Where do you see this?
Right.
Or where do you eat at this restaurant? Or where do you watch this movie? And so that lead-in to the Super Bowl is like, you guys will never believe what this game, whatever you think it's like, it's 100,000 times better.
Yeah.
And so part of that exists. Like yourself, you know it, but to show others, like, and watch their reaction, like what I tell you.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to remember the first 5 minutes of this game at all.
Right. You're going to be like, hyperventilating.
Bill said, hey, make sure you're calling just base stuff because they're not going to know anything for 5 minutes.
Right.
And so that's the kind of thing that you look forward to, you know, kind of sharing.
Yeah, sharing that, seeing them get that experience.
Well, it's awesome. Thanks to Zebra Technologies for giving us Sean Payton today, with also the unexpected plug for Waking Ned Divine, which...
Man, he's killing
not available
today.
In theaters, but I'm sure you can find it streaming somewhere.
If you choose to watch it, I would suggest subtitles.
Yeah, like, it's hard to get that accent.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
All right, all the best to you. It's great to have you back in the game. Great to have you back in the league. And we wish you all the best with the Denver Broncos.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, everybody, that's it for the Monday podcast. Hope you enjoyed these interviews. And again, like I said, to start the pod here, we'll release a group of interviews for Wednesday and another group on Friday. Well, we did a lot of talking to some awesome personalities last week. So the next podcast on Wednesday, we'll have conversations with George Kittle, Josh Jacobs, and more. And on top of that, I just want to keep this on your radar. You know, next Monday, we'll be back in the swing of things. Ahmed and I will be back in the studio at NBC Sports, and we're going to have our awards podcast, which includes the Homies Choice Awards that you can vote on. Check our social media accounts. You know where to find me, at CSimsQB on Twitter, at SimsUnButton on Instagram, for a link on how you can vote. All right. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Check us out on Wednesday with the great list of players we got coming.
The
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.